Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us for Let Go, Let God Ministries with Reverend Carolyn and Reverend Wayne Anders. You will be blessed with the anointed preaching of these humble servants of God who have a word from the Lord for you today. God bless you as you listen.
Good morning. It's a cold morning in the Carolinas, but a beautiful morning. My name is Reverend Sherry Thompson. Last week was my birthday, so I took a little personal time off to enjoy my birthday with family and friends. But I'm so glad to be back here with you today, and I'm so glad that you have taken time to tune in and hear God's word. I hope you've taken the time to invite family and friends to be with us this morning. I invite you to take a love boat journey as we explore God's message of love. The question I have for you this morning is so simple. Is God your forever Valentine? Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I just thank you for a beautiful day, a beautiful morning. Anoint me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Father, I want to thank you for the precious gift of love that you so generously give to us into this world on a daily basis. I come before you on the behalf of marriages and Christian relationships and lost all over the world and the love for your people for one another. We call any plans that Satan would have against your people, against this message, we call it null and void in the holy name of Jesus. And we shout out with a loud, victorious voice for the love that love covers a multitude of sins. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, for it is sufficient for all mankind, Father. Open up our eyes to the devil's tricks and deceit that only kills, steals, and destroys. Renew our love for you on a daily basis. Help us to recognize love is an action word. Thank you for saving the lost, for healing the brokenhearted, and for those who are sick in mind, body, and spirit. And Father, I have a special request this morning. There is a young woman who lives in L.A., California, and her name is Jody. And Father, I ask you to touch her body and heal her body from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. She has been having great problems with one of her legs and that has had infection, and I don't know all the details, but God, you know everything about this circumstance. And Father, we know that you paid the price over 2,000 years ago on the cross, that Jody is healed and whole. Her body is completely whole. Her ligaments, her joints, her tissues, her cells, her blood, her nerves, her muscles work and function the way that you created that leg and that knee and that ankle to function in the holy name of Jesus. And God, we give you all the glory and all the honor for what you're going to do in Jody's life. And also I ask you, Father, a special prayer this morning for my daughter, Heather, who is still in L.A., California, but has I need your prayer request for her this morning. And I come before you so transparent, so honest, so real. My daughter needs your prayers. I want her to return home to North Carolina, that I want her to be well in her soul and her body and her mind. And God, I know that you love her. I know you have favor over her. You always have. You have showed me that, and I know you've showed her that by her being alive through whatever things that she may have gone through or experienced. I know that she's your child. And I ask you this morning to have everyone under the sound of my voice to join in prayer with me, not only for Jody, but for my daughter Heather, that your perfect will would be done in their lives. And God, for those all over this world that don't know you, God, I pray that this morning that your spirit would arrest them right where they're at save their souls and they would repent of their sins and ask the true love of their life to come into their heart. None other than you, Father, because you truly are our forever Valentine. That's what I speak from my heart this morning. And there's so many other things that I know that I need to pray for. But I know that those things this morning that you have spoken, Father, are right at the front priority because you are all about us. We should be all about you because you are our true and one forever, eternal, forever Valentine. Lord, but I do ask you to save the lost, heal the sick, and those that are cardinal Christians that have been playing church, Lord, let them hear your love this morning and let it wrap around them like a beautiful robe of love, of eternal life that will forever heal them and will ever send them back on the right track to being and traveling in your destiny, Father. We give you all the glory for what you're going to do. And for those leaders all over this world, no matter if it's locally here in our state or statewide or all over this great universe, Father, you've placed those leaders in the offices that they're in. Use them for your glory. Use them powerfully, Father, and let them be effective witnesses for your glory. And God, I ask you to touch our first responders, our policemen, our firefighters, our EMS, and our people that respond to emergencies. God, bless them, lead them, guide them, protect them, put your hedge of protection around them. No plans that the devil would have against them, we call every plan void and null in the holy name of Jesus. And I speak that this message this morning, this message of true eternal love, will be effective in every single person's heart that hears this message and every single person that this message is shared with, that it will affect them for eternal life and that they will be saved, set free, delivered, and they will know you as their one and true love. And they will be filled with love. And share love all around them because that's what we're called to do. Because God said that's how he knows us as his people. As we love one another, then you know who we truly belong to. So, God, I give you all the glory and all the honor for everything you're about to do in this message this morning. In Jesus' precious, precious, precious holy name. And everybody out there says, amen and amen. Woo! Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I give you praise and I give you glory for everything you're going to do this morning. This message title is, I know you've heard me preach this before, but it's a worthy message. It's a message of love. And I know sometimes we're searching for love in all the wrong places. But you know what? I have a roadmap for you this morning where you can find the real love of your life and you can share the love that's going to be in you once you find the real love of your life with all of those that are around you, whether it's your friends, whether it's your family, whether it's your coworkers, they can experience the real love of God. This message title is God is Your Forever Valentine. And my text is coming from 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8. It says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass and clinging cymbals. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long, and it is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked, and it thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether they are prophecies, they will fail. Whether they are tongues, they may fail. Whether there is knowledge, it may vanish away. My precious friends, we all abide in faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love, my friends. There's nothing like the agape love of our Heavenly Father. You see, this is a Valentine's Day message about being, it's a being a lifestyle or a way of life that believers in Jesus Christ are live and their lives by. They live by love. It looks at what love is all about and three practical ways that we can show love to our family, to our friends, to our brothers and sisters, and to this world. We can show them who and what love really is. Well, I thank you, God. I'm feeling His presence this morning. I don't know about you. But the enemy knows that we have not been given the spirit of fear, but the Lord gave us love, power, and of a sound mind. Our enemy shakes in his boots when we wake up morning after morning, putting on the garment of love. God gives us the power and the authority to walk in love with our heads up. Why? Because when we walk in love, the enemy is not afraid of us. He is afraid of who lives on the inside of us, none other than God, the Holy Spirit. There lies the key to the power of love right there, my friends. My text is from 1 Corinthians 3:13. Now, I know yesterday was Valentine's Day, but God's day is a Valentine's Day every day. So I still want to share this powerful love message with you. So Valentine's Day, it's already approached us. We're going to talk about a quality of love where love is not just a word that we use in a sentence, but rather it is a lifestyle choice, or rather it is a way of life that all believers in Christ must adhere to. Today we're looking at the topic of love from what many have called the Bible's love chapter. Now that's found in 1 Corinthians 13:1-8. Basically, what the Lord is saying is that without love, nothing else really matters, my friends. He says that it's through our love for others that we show the world that we know and love God. Loving God and loving others should be our number one priority. Love is the greatest of all. Christians should always possess this great love so that people will know who they are. You may be the only one that they see so that they can see Jesus through your love, through your walk, through your talk, through your actions. The Apostle Paul ends this chapter by saying in 1 Corinthians, on another note regarding love, it talks about this. People today equate are looking for love in all the wrong places. They're trying to find it in a thing. They're trying to find it in a person. They're trying to find it in a place. They're trying to find it in a position. But you see, they're searching for love in the wrong places, and they're arriving in all the wrong places, unsatisfied, unfulfilled. You see, nothing can ever fulfill the hole that's in your heart. Nothing can ever take that place except for God. God is the only thing feel in your heart, that you feel in your soul, that you feel in your building, your whole being. And we are to abide in faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love, my friends. Now, that's found in 1 Corinthians 13:13. But what is love? The question of our day, right? And that's because the word love has been misunderstood and the way overused. Now, we use the word love for just about everything and anything, right? We talk about the love for food, the love for people, the loves of different kinds of food, the loves of houses and cars and you name it. The list can go on and on and on. But is that the type of love that God is talking about? We talk about love of our favorite sports or our favorite sportsman or our favorite sports team. But is that really what God is talking about? Do you hear what I'm saying, people? Sometimes I know we love to watch movies or football or basketball or just our favorite things on TV. But is that the kind of love that God's talking about? I don't think so. That's not what's on God's mind. When he spoke of love, he spoke this way in 1 Timothy 6:10. Are we talking about love of our possessions or cars or homes or new dresses or an old pair of jeans? But it's our love for money that is the root of all evil. And that's because greed for more is attached. In short, we use this term love in referring to how we feel about a lot of things. But besides being misunderstood, the word love has also been misinterpreted. Many today are using the word love in the place of the word lust. Men and women say to one another, I love you, when in reality, what they're really saying is, I lust after you. And in our society of promiscuity and sexual immorality is more the norm than the exception, my friend. But besides the word being misunderstood and misinterpreted, there is also a serious misconception about what it means as well. Well, people today equate love more to a feeling. This is seen in a very popular song by the Righteous Brothers, You've Lost That Loving Feeling. I know you know that song. Well, people talk about falling in love like somebody tricked them or like falling into a ditch. But unfortunately, people just as easily say they have also fallen out of love. Love for many is an ocean of emotions. And while love does create feelings, love itself is not a feeling. Instead, love is a choice. We must choose to love. Otherwise, we'll be known as hypocrites. Because today, we can be in love, and tomorrow, out of love, if love is strictly an emotion. Love being a choice is how the Apostle Paul defines it. Now, in Colossians 3:14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. What does it mean to put on? In his letter to both the church and in Rome and to Galatia, the Apostle Paul also uses this same terminology, saying that we are to put on Christ. Romans 13:14 and Galatians 3:27 says that, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Woo, that is powerful. What this means is that the same choice that we made to accept Christ as our Savior and Lord is the same choice we make to love. When we choose God, my friends, we choose real love. To put on Christ and to put on love is like getting dressed. It means to clothe on ourselves in. We have a choice every morning as to what we're going to wear or whether or not we're going to get dressed for work or stay at home or stay in our pajamas. And so love is a choice. We have the choice to put an attitude of love on every single day. We can choose to wear a beautiful robe of love. That is my choice, and I pray that that is your choice today. Love should be a part of our daily attire, a beautiful garment that we choose to put on every single day. Woo, that's powerful. Woo, I feel His presence so strong that sometimes I just have to stop for a moment and just breathe in. It's awesome, awesome presence. The Bible also talks about love being merely words that we speak. It's also communicated through our actions. The Apostle John says in 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in words or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Love isn't something that we talk about. It's more than merely a feeling. It's more than just a thought that we may have. Love is something that we put into action every single day. Love is then more than a lifestyle. Love is actually a way of life. Many times in the Bible, it speaks about our need to love one another. In fact, it's the love that defines us as Christians and demonstrates for God our love for Him. This is seen in the greatest commandment. And in Mark 12:30, it says, when Jesus was asked which commandment was the greatest, he quoted two. The first is our love for God. Love for the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. But then Jesus gave us a second commandment that he said was like unto the first saying. And Matthew 22:39 says, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But by saying that the second is like the first, Jesus is saying that the way we show our love for God is by loving one another. You see, while we can't go up to God and give Him a big bear hug, but we can give Him a big old bear hug to another person. We can't tell Him that we love Him every day, but we should tell our loved ones and our friends and our coworkers and our church family, we love you. We don't know what tomorrow holds us. Today is the day of salvation, and today is the day to not procrastinate, to not put off love, to say I love you, to give your kisses, to give your hugs. Don't wait for tomorrow, because tomorrow may never come. We don't know. That's why we have to do what we need to do in love today. We show God how much we love Him by now, by how much we love one another, my friends. This is the very heart of what love is all about, and so love is an action. We are to show in action through our loving others the love that we proclaim for God. Today, I'd like to give some practical ways that we can show this love. In other words, putting love to work in our daily lives. It's how we make love a way of life. And the first word is going to be love unconditionally. One of the first things I explain in the wedding vows when I'm talking to people is our need to love. But there are a lot of different words and definitions surrounding the word love. In the Greek language, there are four distinct words for love. Listen intently with your hearts, my friends. God is speaking to someone this morning, and He's speaking to you. This is your divine appointment. Don't allow these words to be mental assent, but let them be authority and power and total divine revelation to us. Because when it becomes heart knowledge. I'm not just mental assent, which is it's head knowledge. Divine revelation means action takes place. You walk in love in the spirit and not in your flesh, my friends. God commands us to put on the whole armor of God daily, so we are prepared for spiritual battle. God doesn't send his generals, his soldiers, and his teachers out to battle without protection or without a plan. God's word equips us and prepares us to walk in faith and by love. The Holy Spirit is love, and as Christians, he lives on the inside of us. You are not alone in this battle, my friends. God will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. Here are the other four words that describe the different types of love. Precious, precious. Listen with your heart intently this morning. Eros, which means sexual passion. It's where we get our English word erotic. Storge, which basically means affection. It's the type of love we display toward God's family members. Philae means to be friendly towards its, to be friendly towards. It's from the Greek word that the city of Philadelphia is named. That is the city of brotherly love, my friends. And agape, woo, agape, which means unconditional. It is the word used in our love for God and his love for us. And it is the sort of love that used is giving us the great commandment. It is this last word for love, agape, that I talk about in the wedding vows and what it means when teaching on marriage, or what it means on teaching in relationships. It means that we are placing no conditions upon other persons or people to give or to receive love. Now, we see this word used in other ways. That is practical ways as brought out by the Apostle Paul. Now, in Romans 15:7, it says, therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Yes, to the glory of God. Just as Jesus has loved us and has received us with all our faults and problems and junk, we are received, accepted, and love others the same way. Even though those irritate us, rubbing us the wrong way, these people may be best described as God's heavenly sandpaper. I know that all of us experience that sometimes on a daily basis. And we don't welcome it. But you know what? God has a perfect plan. And we have to trust in that perfect plan. And there are people out there in our daily life, in our workplaces, in our homes that may rub us the wrong way. But you know what? Maybe God has a higher and a deeper and a larger plan, because he's trying to make you and create you to do everything that you were created to be, and his perfect will placed in your life. And that's why he has to place these people in our life like sandpaper that rub and rub and rub. You see, God places them in our life to smooth out the edges. Woo! That's some strong stuff. Creating godly character in us and making us strong and to be overcomers. God's creating us to be what he created us to be when this is happening. So remember, the next time somebody really rubs you the wrong way or irritates you, God has a bigger plan. That's what you have to tell yourself. God has a bigger plan, and this is part of it, because there are no mistakes and everything is for a purpose. But to love someone unconditionally, to receive them, is to accept them as Jesus Christ received and accepted. Received and accepted them. And this isn't easy. In fact, it's hard. It feels impossible, but it's not, because all things with God are possible through Christ Jesus. He gives us strength when we are weak. He is strong in us. Now, the Apostle Paul said that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's found in Philippians 4 and 13. We need Christ's strength to love people unconditionally. If you're looking for love and they're all the wrong places, listen to this message today. You'll find true love, and you'll find it in all the right places. You'll find it with God Almighty, who causes us to love one another and causes us to love Him. And you'll find your forever Valentine. The Apostle Paul also gives us another way to practically love someone unconditionally. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, found in Romans 12 and 10. The Greek word here for kindly affectionate or devoted in some of the Bible translations comes from the Greek word phileo. But how this relates to unconditional love is our need to give preference to one another. It means to be committed to each other without any conditions attached. For any relationship to work, there needs to be an unconditional love and commitment. This sort of commitment to each other, especially with those in faith, is seen with Paul and which was said in my earlier part of the message. So in Romans 12 and 5, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Now, there's a travesty that I've seen as a Christian or as an evangelist, and that is where people commit to either a church or to a marriage. But when something happens, instead of being committed to that process of healing, they leave without so much as a thank you, and they tend to leave with a scorched earthly policy. Yes, I said it, and I'm going to finish it. So, you might be saying, Reverend Sherry, what does it mean by a scorched earthly policy? Well, when people leave hurt, they leave talking badly about their spouse or members within the church, all the while talking themselves up into the process. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior or Lord, when you accept God, you become a part, a member of His body, the church. Now, this is important to understand, because unconditional love means committing yourself to others, being kindly, affectionate, completely devoted to one another in love. They're the key. We belong to one another. There's the key. We belong to one another. We're to love one another. Love never hurts others. And so if we truly love one another with this unconditional love that we proclaim, then we belong to each other. And in, now talking about this verse in Romans 7:10, we see another practical way by which we can love one another. How can we, number two, honor others? This idea of honoring others, especially those in whom we love, is another word that I use in teaching about wedding vows and when Christians are part of the bride of Christ. Now, to honor is to hold the other person in high esteem. First, they are one of God's creations made in the image of His likeness of the Lord. That's the first thing that we need to think about. But also because they provide what we're lacking, hence the idea of many members in one body. Can the hand say to the foot, I have no need of you? Just as the hand needs the foot needs the hand. And the Bible says in Philippians 2 and 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Woo, that was strong. Did you hear what he said? Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, and let each other esteem others better than themselves. But this word honor also carries with it another idea, and that is to honor someone is to help them become everything that God has created for them to be. It's the simple idea of encouragement, knowing that Jesus can return for his church at any time. The Apostle Paul gives us this instruction. Therefore, encourage one another. Found in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Encourage one another and build each other up, just as in the fact that you are doing. Remember, the message today is titled, God is Your Forever Valentine. So we wear the robe of love daily, everywhere we go. It symbolizes his love for others and for us and for him. Let me just say that a pat on the back is a way to go. It goes a long way sometimes, doesn't it? Because everyone needs encouragement, my friends. Everyone needs encouragement. Everyone needs lifted up. And we certainly don't need to tear down people. That is a discouragement. In a world that is tearing us down, we need help building each other up to encourage one another in the Lord. Remember, words of love are tools. Don't use your words like weapons that tear down, destroy, and discourage. One way that we can build up is to use our gifts and talents to help others, to serve one another. As each one has received a gift, ministry is to one another. We're to minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God found in 1 Peter 4:10. Now, the gifts that God has given us are not just for ourselves to enjoy or to use upon our own pleasure, but they are to be used for each other. And God just does that so that we can learn to depend upon each other, so that we can build up and grow in our love for one another and for him who is our forever. As for him, he is our forever Valentine. Once we accept him as Lord and Savior, he is our Valentine every day. Our forever Valentine every day. And so we are to serve one another out of joy, not obligation. And we're to serve him because we love him. And this is something that I have seen in my church, just how willing people are to serve each other, to use their gifts and talents, to serve one another, to serve Christ. The Bible says if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice, found in 1 Corinthians 12:26. And so it's our benefit to honor one another and to honor God. And number three, to forgive freely. True love, unconditional love, freely forgives others' offenses. It doesn't hold onto for unforgiveness or bitterness. Now, you know what? We have an opportunity every day in life to be offended, but it's what we do with that offense. It's if we pick it up and we keep carrying it for days, for months, for years, and we let a cancer build up on the inside of us. If we choose to take that offense and put a block across it, lay it down, choose to cover it with forgiveness and love, that, my friends, will lead you to eternal destination with your forever Valentine. But if you choose to pick that offense up and harbor it on the inside of you with bitterness and anger and malice, then it will be a cancer that will eat you away, and you will never find your true love. You'll never find your forever Valentine. You'll never walk in your true destiny. And that's exactly what Satan hopes that will happen. But you see, I'm here today. I'm the voice. I'm telling you that says you don't have to fall in that trap. You can be a forgiver. You can take that offense and block it out with love and forgiveness. That is what God requires for us to have eternal life one day. To find him is our forever Valentine on a daily basis. You see, Valentine's we celebrate once a year, but God celebrates it every day. And we can celebrate it every day with our love for one another and with our love for him. What exactly is forgiveness, my friends? Over the years, I have more than once given this definition in many of my messages. The reason I so often repeat it is because people tend to forget it, especially when dealing with the hurts that come with loss. Just life in general, my friends. To forgive someone means to no longer remember that offense against that person who hurt you. Did you hear what I said? To forgiveness means to no longer remember that offense against that person who hurt you, or done you wrong, or misused you, or abused you. Forgiveness has nothing to do with forgetting, because it's impossible to forget. Instead, forgiveness, like love, is a choice. Now we choose to no longer remember the offense against the person who perpetrated the offense against us. Woo! Hallelujah! Somebody out there gets it this morning. Someone out there, God is pouring on the receiving power to forgive and to love. The Apostle Paul tells us to put on several qualities, which again means that this is a choice. He said that we need to put on tender mercies. Woo, tender mercies. Putting love in action, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Those are action words. And then he said in Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must be. And then in the very next verse, he says that we're to put on love. So forgiveness is a choice, just like love is a mighty choice. My question to you, is are you wearing the mantle of love? Remember, you may be the only Jesus that someone sees this morning. And remember, God is the author, and he is the finisher of our faith. Let love, let joy, let peace, let long suffering and humility be the mantle that you wear every day. Every day, my friends. Woo! Thank you, God. This is so good. Somebody out there say, amen. Praise God, these words. It is so good. It is food for the soul. In fact, forgiving others is so important that if we fail to forgive others, then God will not. He will not forgive our sins against him. And Jesus said in Matthew 6:15, but if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father in heaven will not forgive your sins. Now that's not Sister Sherry talking. That's not Reverend Sherry talking, or whatever you want to call me this morning. But it is God speaking to you this morning. In John 3:16, the Bible says that God so loved the world that is you and me, that he gave his own son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that we can be forgiven, that we can be loved, that we can walk in our eternal destiny. Those people, however, you find it hard to forgive are those who are holding resentment and bitterness in their hearts. And as a result, they really can't fully love. Did you hear what I said? Those people, however, who find it hard to forgive are those who adult, they really can't find love. You ever wonder why you can't find the love? Search your heart. Are you holding bitterness? Are you holding unforgiveness? Are you holding resentment there? That's why you're not finding the real love that God has for you, my friend. So forgiveness is the third practical way that we can love one another and make love a way of life. And it's how we find our true eternal love. His name is God. He is our real forever Valentine. The most loving thing any of us can ever do is to tell others about God's love for them through what Jesus Christ did for us upon the cross over 2,000 years ago. That is the most loving thing that you and any of us could ever do. Our love for Jesus Christ should be compel us to raise our standards with love and aim toward the goal that helps us complete the race that leads us to eternal life with Christ, with God, forever, with our God, our Heavenly Father, forever. And so, who are you reaching out to today? Not only with the love of Jesus Christ, with our Heavenly Father, God, but also the message of His love. We need to reach out with God's love to our family, to our friends, to our Christian brothers and sisters, to our co-workers, to our lost and dying world. Time is running out, my friends. The clock is about to strike midnight. Where do you stand? Who are you really? Have you found true love? Are you demonstrating it on a daily basis? Have you found the love of your life? I know that I found the love of my life. And I do have a wonderful husband who is a wonderful love of my life, but he is not the true love of my life. The true love of my life is none other than the Almighty God. God comes first and then my husband second. But God comes first, which means I'm going to live right with my husband. And I'm going to love my husband the way he needs to be loved. And I'm going to treat him. Doesn't mean I won't fail sometimes. But God is there to pick up the pieces and help me to do the right things. Because he is like an alarm on the inside of me when I do something wrong or say something wrong that convicts me and tells me to go back and love him, go back and forgive him, go back and say, please forgive me. That gives us the power and authority to do that. God is my husband is my love here on this earth, but God is my eternal, forever Valentine. And I hope that he can be yours this morning. Because with him on the inside of us, we can be everything that we need to be as wives or husbands to our spouses, to our children, to our friends and our family and our coworkers. But without him, what else is there? We're not going to walk in God's will, and we may never find true love. Without God, with being apart from God, we are absolutely nothing. The Word of God says that. In the end of this, my prayer for all mankind is that we will be a church, a body, a people that loves others so much that we'll do whatever it takes to see others come into that saving, loving relationship with God, with Christ, who is none other than Almighty God, who is our true forever Valentine. I feel his presence so strong here this morning. I barely can preach or teach this morning because his love is just saturating me in this room. His love is surrounding me. His love is filling me. His love is leading me. His love is guiding me. His love is like a light that pours on me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. That every part of our being cries out to you this morning, wherever you are. That is the love of God. The love of God for his people. He loves you. You know who you are this morning. And if you haven't made that choice, you do have the choice. Because his love awaits you. His peace awaits you. His joy awaits you. His healing awaits you, my friend. He is the love of my life, and I hope that he is your love this morning. You can make that choice. No one else can take that ride but you. You have to choose that ticket. You have to get on that boat. No one else can get you on that boat but you. And I said at the beginning of my message, I wanted you to take a love boat ride, a journey to true love. Well, you can't take that ride if you don't take God with you. But when you choose him to be eternal, forever Valentine. Let's therefore be a people who love unconditionally, who honor others, and who freely forgive, being that living, loving example of God's love that changes the world, and expresses God's love loud and clear with no shame. With no shame. Woo! Thank you, God. Without love, all I say is ineffective. Without love, all I know is incomplete. Without love, all I believe is insufficient. Without love, all I give is insufficient. It's insignificant, and it is not sufficient. Without love, all I accomplish is inadequate. I know Valentine's Day was yesterday. But everybody may be talking about love, but do most people really understand how important that love is on a daily basis, how important love is in our marriages, and how important love is in our relationships and in our homes, in our Christian life, in our church life? Well, Paul writes to the Corinthian church and pretty much says that without love, we are nothing. Valentine's Day is a pagan holiday, but it can be a day in our life every day. But it is an opportunity for Christians to focus on what love is all about. We must remember that to live without love is not to live at all. Woo! The Bible says love is the indispensable quality that every Christian must have if they are to be pleasing before God. But we must not celebrate the love that Jesus has for us and the love that sheds abroad in our hearts without his presence. We can't. But we need God. We have to choose him first in order to celebrate that love, in order for the Holy Spirit to operate in our lives. Woo! Woo, thank you, God. This tone will help us communicate what I believe God would have us to be aware of right now, during this time, during this message, during this day of February 15, 2020. Mark it a day that you will make God your forever, eternal, forever Valentine. Today, I would like you to answer a question in your own mind and heart. If I were to ask you to complete this sentence, how would you complete it? My aim in life. You leave a blank. You fill it in. If you had to boil it down to one word, my aim in life is to succeed in what? Fame, approval, exception, great position. What would you truly choose? How would you complete that sentence? What is your aim in life? I hope you said your aim in life is to love, because without love, we are nothing. We are absolutely nothing. The heart is the core of who we are. Make sure you store love there. Kindness and generosity is almost a lost art. This means within your time, your attention. You must pay attention to God's love. Your time and attention could be a gift of love. So, my precious friends, let all that you do be done with love. That's found in 1 Corinthians 16:14. Valentine's Day should be a day, not only a special day set aside one day a year, but it should be a day of every day that we shower our spouse of those that you love, those that are close to you, those that are your coworkers, those that are your family members, and shower that love in different ways every day. It may be a night out on the town or dinner or flowers or chocolate or just a gentle hello or shaking of the hand or how you're doing, but do it with love however you choose to do it. Because Valentine's Day can create a variety of emotions for different people. For some, it creates satisfaction, celebration of love and between you and your spouse or your friends and family. Or for others, sometimes it's a feeling of loneliness because they don't have a spouse or they have no family. Whether you are single or whether you're in a relationship, let the Bible scriptures encourage you and celebrate, for God has unconditional love for all of you. You are never alone. You've never been alone, even though you feel alone. God is right there. If you want to choose him today, his open, extended hand is open, wide open. His arms are wide open to you today. You can be his forever Valentine. I ask you right now, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you'll pray the sinner's prayer with me. But let me say this last couple of things. That Romans 12:19 says that love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. And Mark 12:33 says to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. Remember, God lives in us as love if we are his child. He is the only person who can complete us. He is the only author and the finisher of our faith. So if you don't know him as Lord and Savior today, repeat the sinner's prayer after me. Pray this prayer, and your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life forever. And God will become your forever Valentine. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I come before you this morning. I know that I am lost and undone as a sinner. I come before you asking you to forgive me of my sins, to wash me and cleanse me as white as snow, to come into my heart and to come into my life and to be to me everything that I need, everything that will help me to love you and to love others and to be found pleasing before you. God, I know without you, I am nothing and I can be nothing. And I know without you, I cannot find true love. And I know that with you, love is possible and all things are possible through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. So Lord, thank you for saving me this morning. Thank you for coming into my life. And thank you, Father, for writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. For now I know who is my true love. You are truly my forever, eternal Valentine. Thank you, God, for being in my life now. Use me as you will, Father. I yield every member of my body to you, and I thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And everybody out there says amen. If you said that prayer this morning, I welcome you to the family of God. You are now a new creation. The old man has died. And now God can take, like I say every week, he can take that pencil right out of your hand and he can write your story the way it was always meant to be, because you have chosen him and you've chosen him to direct your path and your will. And he is truly your forever Valentine. God bless you. He loves you so much. His favor surrounds you. He's for you. He never, ever is against you. God bless you. Victory is yours today. God bless you so much until we meet you again. Until we meet again. Amen.